The Palestinians are hoping to gain a recognition of their statehood at the United Nations, and the United States is being put under a lot of pressure to accept that bid. But at the same time, the U.S. is now applying its own pressure, trying to delay that vote at the very least. Joining us now, David Kirkpatrick, Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. And David, this perhaps represents a sort of reorientation, diplomatically at least, in the Middle East. The countries like Egypt and Turkey that were strong allies of both the U.S. and Israel. Now, how is that playing out in the United Nations, at least when it comes to Palestinian statehood?
Well, that's the context of this. For a long time now, the Palestinians have said, okay, this roadmap, this Oslo Peace Accord is not working for us. We see Israel dragging its feet. We're going to go over your head to the United Nations and ask for recognition of the state, which would allow them, among other things, to go to the International Criminal Court to try to press charges against Israeli settlers. So that's a disaster for Israel. It would be symbolic. I mean, it wouldn't create a real state on the ground, but it would be empowering for the Palestinians. All of this is happening now against this very sudden change sweeping the region, where Egypt and Turkey, two longtime allies of Israel, two of its closest allies in the region, have both lined up squarely behind the Palestinians and started saber rattling against Israel. I mean, we're not talking about going to war here, although Turkey has said that next time an aid flotilla from Turkey tries to make its way to Gaza, it will be escorted by Turkish warships. And then the cherry on the top, if you will, is all of this is happening just days after an angry mob was allowed to storm the Israeli embassy here and force the ambassador to evacuate. That's here in Cairo, where I now am. So all of this has put Israel on the defensive and put the Arab world sort of on a new footing circling around Israel. What might resolve this would be some sort of bold gesture or move to restart the peace process by Israel, which would persuade the Palestinians to say, okay, you know, we don't need to go to the UN right now. And yet it seems less and less likely that Israel is going to be willing to do that at a time when they feel so on the defensive.
We're speaking with David Kirkpatrick, Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. And David, what does this say with the United States kind of struggling and not seem to be making much headway in terms of delaying this vote at the UN? What does that say about the U.S. influence in that region?
Well, I think what's troubling for the U.S. is that they've said that they're going to veto a move by the Security Council to try to give statehood to the Palestinians. So that means the Security Council move is a non-starter. But executing that veto would be a real black eye for the U.S. in terms of its efforts at diplomacy in the Arab world, because it would look to the Arab world like the U.S. was once again carrying Israel's water. So the U.S. is trying to make a kind of Hail Mary pass to get all the parties involved to move forward in some other way without a big confrontation at the United Nations. So you see them scrambling diplomats around the world in a kind of last-ditch, last-minute effort to try to bring people together to head that off.
As David Kirkpatrick, Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, David.
Anytime.
He's talking about the possibly upcoming vote in the United Nations on Palestinian statehood. Again, that would be symbolic. It would only fly in the United Nations, but the United States is trying to delay that vote so that it never comes up in the Security Council and they don't have to exercise their veto.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.